Welcome back to the In the Dugout podcast. My name is Jason Ward, once again alongside Joey Nagel and Will McNamara. How are we doing on this Marathon Monday?
Well, we're still above 500.
Somehow, some way. Joey?
Yeah. I have no words. This is not a real baseball team.
Yeah. Many places we could start. I'm going to start off by saying that I don't think the Red Sox are that good. Maybe a hot take there. Really not a hot take. They're not that good. They're painful to watch. We've had some rough ones already. We are, 17 games into the season, and it hurts to watch the Red Sox just like it has last year and the year before and many times since 2018. It's just the same old Red Sox, as I've been saying. So ready or not, let's dive into it. At the time of our last episode, we hadn't played a home game yet. So let's start with the Orioles series, the home opener series. You get swept at Fenway. That was a rough one. Obviously, we went into that knowing that the Orioles are a really good team, but it wasn't. Jim Rice said it in the post game after the final game of that series that the Orioles didn't impress him. They didn't do anything fantastic or whatever. It's the Red Sox that beat themselves in that series. They had five errors total in across those three games. I mean, starting with game one, you lose 7-1. You get silenced by Corbin Burns, who is a very good pitcher. So that's not your fault, but Sox make two errors. That was the game where, I don't know who had the tweet, maybe it was Alex Speer, but it was a tweet that was like, Story is crying that his season's over. Duran is punching a locker saying that he needs to be better. Like, it was just a total mess. That was the pregame ceremony where Story and Giolito came out in their sling and braces. That game, probably the worst possible way you could have started out the homestand and at home for the season.
Yeah, I think straight out the gates, the energy was just down. I mean, you bring in Giolito, who you just signed, and he comes out in a brace for his Tommy John that he just or is about to get, and Story's in a sling because he dove in a freak accident. Of course that happens, right? It's just, for the home opener, that's just really low energy right from the start.
And I feel like I was watching a cartoon. It's like they all come out like broken.
It was so.
The 04 thing, and it's just like, yeah. Everyone's down, but it's like, oh, this is supposed to be happy, and then no.
Well, aside from like that little pregame injury thing, it started out great. Tyler O'Neill did his thing and hit another homer, and you're like, oh my god, Red Sox, let's roll. And then it just kind of falls apart from there, because that was the only run that they scored. That was his first at bat too, and so they yep. didn't score another run the rest of the game.
Yeah. The vibes were high, though, at that point. I was feeling myself. I love Tyler O'Neill, and that was, like, the most electric way you can start your home season. But I don't know. Going back to the pregame real quick, like, I was watching it on mute, so I didn't get to hear the crowd, like, applaud for Story or O'Neill. But, like, I was at the gym watching it, and I audibly cringed when I saw both of them just walk out there so dejected. And then I watched the Wakefield ceremony. I see the entire crowd crying, and I'm like, how are you supposed to play a game after this?
Yeah.
It was just like, I mean, it was a great ceremony. Like, it was a really nice way to honor Tim Wakefield, but, like, geez, having to play a baseball game after that's kind of tough.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of confused emotions. Like, I was watching the game live with audio, and when Trevor Story came out, it was, like, kind of a half applause and kind of like a half, it's like, oh, because he looked in pain too. Like, he looked very upset, whether it was physical or mental pain, probably both. And the sling, I don't know what that thing was. It looked like someone's sleeve or like a sock. Like, that didn't look like a medical grade sling. But he, yeah, that was tough.
And it then also the, was just it was a really bad day for Bayo to not be on his best stuff too.
He wasn't that bad.
And no, he wasn't that bad. It was just a few pitches that he missed real bad. And you can't do that with a team like the Orioles. They're going to make you pay.
Right. I mean, that seems to be the story of Bayo's season. He has another start that we'll get to, but it is he gets a few mistakes. He pitches well and has a few mistakes. We talked about the two-run homers that he kept giving up. Didn't give up a homer in this one, so that's progress. And his start later in the homestand that we'll talk about was even better. So, again, the trending in the right direction. But yeah, like he had a okay start, and obviously it ended up worse than it was because of the errors. That's going to be the story of this whole entire episode is the errors, because that's what's killing the Red Sox right now. But yeah, I mean, and then I don't even remember, because it was a while ago now, what Duran did that made him so upset. I'm pretty sure he made one of the errors and he was kicking himself
It
for it.
was
He
the
was really
drop
hard on
fly ball.
himself.
It was the drop
Right.
fly
Oh, the
ball
one in
left.
left field. Yeah, I do
Yeah.
remember that. That's tough. But Rafaela did that out in LA too. His was worse, arguably, because he was sitting still, just standing there. Duran at least was moving to his right. But yeah. That, so you go in to that homestand after taking 2 out of 3 from the Angels and going whatever it was on the West Coast, 7-3, right? Yeah. And you're feeling real good. And you go in and then you lose that game. You're like, all right, the Orioles are a good team. You didn't play well. Let's bounce back the next day. They do not bounce back the next day or the day after that. So game two, they lose 7-5. Cutter Crawford started that one. He was good, and he's been really good this season, but we were talking in our group chat about how he just kind of loses control later in the games. He had 4 walks in that game, which you can't be doing. But to be fair, Sox were up 5-0 after 5. Cutter did his job. Costas had a 2-run homer. Duran scored from first base on an O'Neill single. There was a really weird play. Connor Wong had a 2 RBI hit after Pablo Reyes went up there trying to bunt. Did you guys see that?
Yeah,
It
I don't
looked
know
like
what
a
that was
pitcher.
about.
He did the pitcher formation where you're just sacrificing yourself, and he did it all 3 pitches, which is like when you get to 2 strikes and you're not a pitcher, like just hit.
Yeah,
Yeah,
why are you
exactly. He was
trying to bunt
bunting
with two
from the start.
strikes when you can hit a
Right.
baseball like a normal player?
And was that he wasn't batting second then, was he? No, because Connor Wong
No,
came
that was
after him.
later in
Yeah.
the.
Yeah.
That was when we got more desperate.
But still, like he went up there and he, like you said, Joey, bunting every pitch, and I felt like I was watching a National League game back in the day when the pitcher was hitting, because that's exactly what it was. Like he wasn't even trying to swing the bat, and then he obviously got out because that's what are you doing? And then Yoshida grounded out with 2 on. So that started out, we had 2 on, no outs. Then you do the little bunt thing, which in theory, fine play, bunt the 2 guys in into scoring position. That's cool. But then Yoshida ground out, now you have 2 outs, and you didn't move the runners at all. Thank God Connor Wong came through there and drove those runs in, because I was about to have a whole post. I was typing it out. I was getting ready to be mad, and then he kind of saved me from that. So thank you. But you did lose this game. The Orioles made a 7-run comeback. Like I said, you're up 5-0. You lose 7-5. Something went wrong there. Isaiah Campbell gave up 3. Chris Martin gave up 4. 3 of those earned. That inning was
That
weird.
inning was crazy, by the way. That Chris Martin inning, he was just balls were firing to the backstop. Connor Wong forgot how to do the job of being a catcher.
And
That
he was
whole
all over the
inning was
place,
just
though,
such a,
dude.
it was so ominous, because Campbell gets shelled the inning before, and you're like, oh crap. Like at that point, Campbell was one of our better relievers. And like you could just, at least for me, you could feel the wheels falling off. And then once Chris Martin throws a ball to the backstop, I'm like, oh crap. This is not the Chris Martin I know.
Yeah,
Well,
it was
that's
like
what was weird about it
5-3.
all. Chris Martin's so good. You go into that inning and you're like, okay, Isaiah Campbell messed up, gave up 3, whatever. Like you said, well, 5-3. You're still up. You're still leading by 2 with one of the best pitchers in baseball last year up for you to pitch. And then he has his, I think that was the first bad outing he's had with the Red Sox, really, to that
It
level.
was like the
I can't
first
really
time he
remember any of them.
ever gave up runs at Fenway. It was
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely don't remember another time he did. And it's just like we were talking about, like it's just weird, just mistakes, like Connor Wong, the catcher's interference and the pass ball, and then you make those mistakes and then boom, 3-run homer, and now you're down 7-5. So that's why I say that this team hurts me, is because that's not a normal way to lose a game. That's a very specific Red Sox way to lose a game.
Up 5 in the 7th inning. It's like, oh wow. Most fans would be like, all right, this one's all good. And we're sitting
Yeah.
here on the edge of our damn seats. Pardon. And it's like, why do I have to be sitting here thinking, wow, there's a chance we still might lose this game up 2 with 2 innings left because our bullpen is just that bad.
Yeah.
Well, if we're being real, even if Chris Martin gets out of this and we throw Kenley out in the ninth,
That's the
like
thing.
something bad was bound to happen. I feel like Campbell came in right after Wong had the two-run single to put us up by five, I think.
Yeah,
So
so you're feeling
that's
great.
like a situation where you
Yeah.
need the shutdown inning because that just kind of kills all possible momentum Baltimore would even have. And then by getting three and just chipping away like that, like they get it back. So I don't know. They're not a good series for the bullpen. Well, for Campbell,
Just
really.
the
Yeah, for
defense in
Isaiah
general.
Campbell.
I mean,
Yeah.
I know people were talking about this, but Isaiah Campbell, his mustache, really sick. Really sick when you're pitching well. But when you're not, you look like an absolute clown out there.
Kind of makes me mad.
He's out there looking like a wet sock and just pitching like one too, honestly. But dude, baseball is a very superstitious sport. You gotta shave that, man. You gotta shave it until you earn it back.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Yeah, this is one of those games where I think if you played this game under these conditions 10 times, you'd win this game 8 times. Like, it's just, you beat yourself. And that was the story of this whole series. You beat yourself just with the stupid mistakes. And Chris Martin, if he goes into a game, like, that's not going to happen again. Like, that's probably one of the few times where he's going to mess up. And it wasn't even his fault fully. But Chris Martin's had a weird season. I feel like he's been on the ground more than any other pitcher. There was another game, a few games before that, where he had to like dive for a ball and he was like falling over. And it's give him, he's old, man. He's like 37, 38. He's got a lot of gray hair. He can't be the one that's diving around like that. Leave that to the younger guys. Give him a break. So that's when your infield's got to play defense, so your pitcher doesn't have to. But with this Red
If
Sox
you're if
team,
you're
that's asking a lot.
if you're talking about the theme of this series is beating ourselves, should probably move on to game three.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable.
So again, as a fan, you're sitting there, all right, this is the first homestand in the series. Let's just salvage the series, right? You lost the first two, put it behind you, brand new day. You go into this game. Whitlock looked good. He's been a good member of that starting rotation, which we didn't know if that would happen or not. You get early offense. Willy Abreu had an RBI double. That's a guy who hasn't really contributed much, and so you're feeling good. Defense was good for a while. And then boom, it just falls apart like it seems to do all the time. A ball goes right through Pablo Reyes's legs. I'm watching this game with my roommate who's not really a Red Sox fan, but he's played baseball his whole life. And he's watching this with me and he's like, "You can't do that." I'm like, "Yeah, you can't do. These are Major League Baseball players." He just goes whoop right through the wickets. And then David Hamilton, he's trying to turn a double play here and just misses second base. I think that's like the first step's field the ball. Second step's touch the base. When you turn a double play, you got to hit second base. And that
He
was
did it
the inning.
earlier in the series too, and they've challenged it. He loves jumping over the bag. And I was half paying attention when I was watching that game, but they turned the double play. I pumped my fist. I'm like, "Yes, let's go. That's big that we got out of the inning." And then I look back to the TV and I'm like, "Wait a minute, why are we still playing here?" And once again, my mistake. I had it on mute. So I go to Twitter
That'll
and they're like,
get
David Hamilton just jumped over the bag. And I was like, oh my God, this is about to bite us back. And then what do you know? What was it, the next pitch? I think it was like the very next pitch was the go ahead
two-run home run.
run home
Yeah.
run. And I laughed. I burst out laughing. I was
That's
like,
all you can
of
do.
course.
That's how I reacted too, because the sequence of events is just ridiculous. You can't make it up. Because you get ball right through Reyes's legs, you get a runner on first. Next guy strikes out, and then you have one out with a runner on first. You want the double play ball to get out of the inning. Boom, you get the double play ball, tailor made, and then they mess it up somehow by not even like messing up the throw, messing up touching second base. They were an inch away from getting out of that inning. Not even a millimeter. It just touched the base. And then, boom, two run homer. Now you're down 3-2. You had the inning ending double play, and you messed it up. We talked, or I guess analysts talked all series about how you can't be giving the Orioles, a really good team, extra outs. That's exactly what that was. They gave them extra outs. They only needed was one extra out, and boom, two-run homer. You're down 3-2. Game rolls on, and you're not feeling great after bad defense. Connor Wong again, thank you. Pinch hit, first career pinch hit home run, game tying home run. You're sitting 3-3 right now. 3-3. And then you go into extra innings. And I think every Red Sox fan started to get worried because you go into extra innings with a bad defense and facing a very good Orioles team, something's bound to go wrong. It went wrong
And it
already.
immediately goes wrong.
Couldn't have gone worse. Considering right now we're talking about this game being 3-3 and the final score was 9-4, you can kind of guess that something went south. Isaiah Campbell is not good at baseball. He instantly got clowned, put on the clown list. He gives up a two-run shot to Gunnar Henderson immediately. Like immediately. You get the ghost runner on second base. Gunnar at the plate. Boom. Over the monster. And then you're like, all right, it's only 5-3. Maybe we can make a comeback. And it keeps going. Couser, three-run bomb. Bomb, by the way. Emphasis on bomb. That ball was
The ball is
crushed.
crushed.
That Couser dude, I don't know.
He's
He
legit,
hates
dude.
us. He hates us.
He's got something against the Red Sox. Dave O'Brien was like, get him to the bus immediately, get him out of town. So you lose that one 9-4 after being tied 3-3 going into extras.
One thing I'll say about Campbell, both times, like, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but the Orioles weren't even working counts against him. They were just ambushing him first, second pitch of the at bat and getting base hits.
Very
So
aggressive
clearly
approach.
something was not good on the Isaiah Campbell side of things.
You think he might be
I figure
tipping?
that out.
I don't think he needs to tip because if you look at his pitch usage, this is a guy who like threw like one fastball all Mariner series or whatever the stats were. I probably should have looked him up, but he was using only breaking pitches. So when you go up to the plate and you know that he's only going to throw breaking pitches, he's basically tipping his pitch in a way. And then it turns out they wanted him to use his fastball a little bit more because of how little he was using it. Turns out he wasn't using it for a reason because it's pretty trash.
His
And
fastball
they were just
sucks. It was
crushing the
flat.
fastball.
Yeah.
So
He was just everything was getting way too much plate. Earlier in the season, he's painting corners with the sweeper. He's able to throw it front door, back door, and he was definitely not doing that either of the two games.
Yeah, so he gave up 9 runs, 8 of those earned in 24 hours in that series. Pretty bad. And then he
Oh,
goes on
that's
the
a
IL. That was funny
He's
because,
on the IL.
yeah, they put him on the IL right after that game. I think it was the good
Really?
old, oh, this guy sucks. Let's pretend he was injured.
Yeah, let's pretend he's hurt.
Yeah. Guys, I didn't actually give up 8 runs. I'm just hurt. You know, the old shoulder's barking again.
It's really, I wasn't feeling myself, and
Yeah.
they just took advantage of that. But I'm gonna rehab and we'll be all good. It's like, no, you're going to Worcester.
Bad. Yeah, bad. On the bright side, I don't actually that wasn't the move. I don't think that brought Brennan Bernardino up, but he is back. So there's that. But yeah, all in all, you get swept by the Orioles at home. You look pretty stupid. You make 5 errors in the series, you beat yourselves, and you lose pretty much all of the momentum that you had from the West Coast trip. And you fall off the power rankings. Everyone's like, okay, the Red Sox are back. And I think I can speak for all fans when I say that we no longer enjoyed watching Red Sox baseball after that series.
I love how the Red Sox are back is in the bad connotation.
They're
It's like,
so
yep,
back, let me tell you.
they're back to being the Sox.
Those 2022 Sox are back.
The good old Red Sox. It's the same thing every year. I was talking about like this podcast. I'm like, I feel like every episode has just been the same the past 3 years because it's just we feel good about the Red Sox, and then they just slap us in the face and knock us down, and it's like, oh, same old stuff, different year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep going though. Let's keep rolling into the Angels series
Roll.
here. Like I said on my Instagram, if you didn't get enough of the Angels a few days ago, they were back. We got more of them. We got to see Anthony Rendon play baseball, and he got right back on track playing the Red Sox. We brought the love of baseball back into his life.
That's
Of
so
course it was us.
embarrassing.
Of course it was us.
Who else would it be? You give up the first hit
Yeah.
to him since July, and then he just goes nuclear against us. Not even like he's just getting hits. He's just nickel and diming you out in the outfield, just finding grass. But game one, you lose 7-0. So that's a fourth straight loss right there. You're feeling awful. You'll go up against Reed Detmers, who struck you out 12 times in LA, and he shoved again against us. We scored 0 runs on 3 hits.
I have a
I
stat.
mean, yeah.
to be fair, oh, go ahead, Joe.
Anthony Rendon has 12 hits on the season, and 9 of them have come against the Red Sox. He's gotten a hit in every single game against the Red Sox. including two hits in every single game of this past series. So, like, what are we doing?
The one
Yikes.
thing I will say about that game one against the Angels, and even though two of his starts this season have been against the Red Sox, Reed Detmers is a dog.
Oh,
And
yeah.
with an offense that's not performing like they should be right now, going up against him in game one is going to be tough.
Oh, no, you're
Yeah,
totally right. He's a
definitely.
really good pitcher. He's also a lefty, and the Red Sox can't really hit lefties. They need Rob Refsnyder, the lefty slayer, back for that. But yeah, they got carved up by him again. Joey, while you're bringing up stats, how many teams have won a game when they scored 0 runs?
That would be zero.
Yeah.
No
Yeah, that
team has
makes sense.
ever won a game when scoring 0 runs. That's
The
pretty
Red Sox
crazy.
are really trying to be the first this season.
Yeah, really pushing it.
Yeah, but they were unable to in game one. Also, Tanner Houck had the first bad start of any of the Red Sox starting pitchers. He gave up 12 hits, 7 runs. Only 4 of those earned, of course, because the Red Sox don't give up earned runs. They give up just runs from errors. Sox made 3 errors in that game. I did not watch this game. Thankfully, I'm very glad that I chose not to. So I don't know what those errors were, but it's just the same thing that it's been all season. You make errors, you give up unearned runs, you beat yourself, and you lose. You don't score runs, you lose 7-0.
I'll say I'm glad the Sox chose a Friday night to do this because that is one of the nights of the week that I can do better things
Yeah.
Yes.
than watch the Sox lose by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
just I'm getting to the point where the errors are just the second I see them make an error, it's like, all right, well, this one's pretty much locked and loaded over. They're just gonna keep making more. It's like
Because it.
they're like contagious. It's like you get your first error of
Yes.
the game in like the second inning. It's like, cool, we're gonna make three more.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how that happens. Like you talk about the game the other day, the last game in the Orioles series. They were good defensively for all of that game until Reyes makes that error, and then you make more errors after that, and just all falls apart. Like the way that it spreads to the rest of the defense is terrible. That's detrimental to a winning ball club. You talk about the loss of Trevor Story on the defense, and that's where you see it, is you don't have that defensive leader out there anymore. Trevor Story's out there, he's gonna make a great diving play, a great throw, whatever it is. He sets the tone for the defense. You're like, all right, we got this guy at shortstop, he's our rock, he's gonna play great defense game in and game out. When you don't have that, you have a lot more question marks. So when Pablo Reyes makes an error at third base, now there's more pressure on David Hamilton, who's not good defensively to begin with. You don't have a good defensive team, like we know that. And when one person makes an error, you're going to have more pressure in your head knowing that you're not a good defensive team. Like, all right, we made an error. We can't make any more errors. Can't make any more errors. Everyone's looking at us as a bad defensive team. We have to turn that around. So when you have that pressure in your mind, you're going to take your eye off the ball accidentally because you're thinking of something else. You're going to kick a ball. You're going to miss it. Whatever it is, it just bleeds into all the different fielders across the board. Because it's not like last year, Kike Hernandez was making an error every game. Like, that was a clear root of your defensive problems that made Devers worse. This year you have Duran dropping balls in the outfield, Rafaela dropping some balls, and Abreu booting some balls, Hamilton, Valdez. Valdez is terrible defensively. It's a joke.
Hamilton
Hamilton's not
might be
much better.
worse. He's giving him
Hamilton's
a
not
run
much
for his
better.
money.
Yeah.
Hamilton has, for somebody who's really fast and has quick feet, he might have the worst footwork I've ever seen. A ground ball gets hit to him and he just starts backpedaling.
Yeah.
That we learned that in T-ball that you got to charge the ball, and I'm blown away by how poor his footwork is. Not only by that, but also he just jumps over second base.
That's enough right there to know your footwork's bad. If you're missing second base as a shortstop turning a double play, something's wrong. You're right.
It's like the first thing you get taught.
he looks like he's never played baseball before. Like it looks like he came from like another sport because he's an athletic guy. He's fast. He's probably got good hand-eye coordination, I'd hope, I'd assume. But he doesn't really know baseball fundamentals, baseball footwork in the infield. I don't know who taught him
Doesn't
how to
help when
play
he can't
baseball,
hit
but
either.
yeah.
I,
That's
I'm desperately trying to find some sort of defensive metric right now that shows how terrible David Hamilton
Did
is.
you know he won Defensive Player of the Year last year in AAA?
Yeah, whoever that intern was, I hope they don't get brought back this year.
Yeah, like did they not watch him play baseball? How
Were they
did
just
this
like
guy win
underhand
defensive
rolling
player?
ground balls to him or something?
Unless everyone else on that field just missed every ball hit to them and he maybe made one catch, like I don't know how he wins that. Especially you had Bobby Dalbec down there. That guy can't hit, but he can field, especially in AAA. He's Mike Trout in AAA. So I have it in our notes here. Is David Hamilton good to debate? I'm gonna go
That's
no.
not a
I don't feel
debatable
like there's much of a
topic.
debate.
He was hitting buck 82 and can't field. It actually kind of makes me angry that he hit a garbage time home run against the Angels because that's like everyone's first impression. Oh, he can hit. No, he can't. That's the same with Valdez hitting a home run opening weekend. Oh, he can hit. No, he can't. Can't
What's he
field
done
either.
since then?
The two of them
Yeah.
are the same player, first off. I can't stand
I'm
watching
starting
either
to.
of them anymore.
I'm getting to the point where I want to retract my apology to Valdez.
I think you
I
should.
think you should. I mean, is there a worse middle infield defensively
In baseball? No.
than Valdez and Hamilton? I don't think it could get worse than that
No,
if you
you can't
try.
get much worse than that.
Like, I think a college middle infield might even be better than them.
Yeah.
David
Yeah.
Hamilton, like, he also just doesn't look like a major league player. Like he's a pretty small guy. Like he looks like he'd be a good second baseman, maybe.
Could be.
I mean, who knows?
He
Put him at second base,
feel
maybe
like
he'll be better, but that's not a shortstop.
he's low key kind of built to be like a jockey at the Kentucky Derby.
That
Yeah.
too.
Like
Yeah.
short, skinny.
You know what he'd be good at? He'd be a great ball boy.
At least give him bat boy.
Well, I was just thinking ball because he can run down like when the foul ball like bounces off like the wall and it goes way out there. He can run. So he can get out there, get that ball, bring it right back to the stands immediately. I think he'd be great.
Good
That's
point.
fair.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's great analysis.
Exactly. If you put him as bat boy, I think he's gonna run out there and trip over the bat.
This is what the fans listen for.
Yeah, exactly. Or no, you know what he's gonna do? He's gonna run out to grab the bat, and then he's just gonna try like he's gonna reach out and just whiff on the bat and start running back and be like, oh, I forgot the bat. What's gonna happen? That's how he
Gonna
plays
jump over
defense.
home plate.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm waiting for that. One of these days he's gonna come around to score a run and just miss home plate.
Is. I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Because if he can't hit
It'll
second
happen this
base when he's
year.
fielding, how do you know he's gonna hit second base if he's rounding second?
Does he even know what second base is?
I think he has never played baseball before. Like I think he discovered someone was like, "Oh, you're fast, you should play baseball." 2 years ago, and they put him out there, and here he is. But I don't know. He's not the solution to the shortstop problem, let me tell you.
No, he's definitely not the
No.
solution.
No, we'll get into who it is and what it is later, but it's not him. Spoiler alert. What game are we on? Game two. Game two.
Game
So again,
two.
you're feeling terrible. You just lost four straight games, making so they made 3 errors in that game, which means you made 8 errors in the past 4 games at this point. Bad. That is
Brings you down
bad.
to 500.
Yeah. What makes a good baseball team? Resiliency, bouncing back the next day. And they do that. Game two, they score 6 runs in the first 2 innings. Casas had a 2-run homer. Abreu went 2 for 4, 2 runs and a double. Yoshi had 2 hits and 2 RBIs. Rafaela had an RBI. Cooper Criswell making a spot start for Pivetta, who's out, was decent. 4 innings, 2 runs. You win that game 7-2. This is why this team bothers me. It just makes no sense. You win
I was
this.
going to
This
say
is
the
a
same
good
thing.
game. You make no errors. Your offense scores 7 runs. You get on the board early. Pitching holds them to 2. You do nothing wrong in this game and you win 7-2. It's almost like when you play good baseball, you win baseball games. If only they could realize that.
You have
Who
to
would have
catch the ball
thought?
to win games.
Yeah.
No, this one was fun to watch. I mean, you get to see the offense go off in the first few innings, and then it's like, all right, is the defense going to blow this one? Is the bullpen going to blow this one?
When's
And
the
then they
error coming?
didn't. And then they didn't. It was
Yeah.
awesome.
It was a great complete game by the Sox there. And I just like it's crazy how surprising it is to see a Major League Baseball team play a well-rounded game where they pitch well, hit well, and field well. It feels like being a Red Sox fan the past few years, it feels like we can only have one of the three.
Yeah.
And on a good day, sometimes too.
Maybe if you're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game that it's a big game to win too, because you have Cooper Criswell starting. You lose Nick Pivetta in that spot in the rotation. You don't expect to win this game because you have a guy who just came up from AAA who's not normally in the rotation. He's new to the team. You don't know what you're going to get from him. So you go in your mind like this is kind of a bullpen game. You're not really expecting much. He gives you 4 innings, 2 runs. That's all you can ask from him. And the fact that the offense went out there and scored 7 runs after being shut out the day before, that's huge right there. And like we said, defense was good. So if you could play like that every day, you'd be a really good team. So again, the Red Sox are like bipolar. That's what it feels like. Like there's two different
Also,
versions of this team. You have a team that wins games like this one, where you play good defense, you score runs, and you pitch well. You're like, oh my God, this team is one of the best teams in the league. Like they're a top 15 team, like a better half of the league team. And then there's the other Red Sox, the Jekyll and the Hyde here. The other Red Sox are barely a major league team. They're worse than some AAA teams because they beat themselves with errors. It's so frustrating as a fan because you know what they're capable of. Because you can watch them in a game like this one, game two against the Angels, where they win 7-2 and play great baseball. And then you know that they're capable of that. If only they could do that every day. But then they don't.
The thing that frustrates me the most is the fact that you can get guys going out like Whitlock in game three of that Orioles series, who throws a great game. The offense keeps us in it, and it looks like we're putting together a good game. You know, we did have one error, and then the bullpen just goes out and blows it. And then you get this game where we start out real hot, and it's like, oh, this the bullpen's going to blow it for Cooper Criswell, who's coming out of Worcester. It's like, yeah, they don't really care. And they go and shut the door for 5 innings. Unheard of for this no name who's just coming up. Like, no one outside of Boston knows who this guy is. And he just comes up, does his job, does well. And then our bullpen's like, you know what? I respect that.
Let's help him
Let's
out.
go help this guy get a win. Let's not help Whitlock get a win, who's been shoving for us, but let's help Cooper Criswell.
I feel like that happens a lot in baseball where like you have a guy up for a spot start or you have someone who is noticeably worse than everyone else and the rest of the team just kind of picks him up. And that's what a good team does. But it feels like they do the complete opposite whenever anyone else is out there where you have Whitlock, who is the lowest ERA on your staff, and he's been shoving all year. And I feel like the rest of the team just kind of gets lackadaisical, for lack of a better word, where they're just, they expect Whitlock to keep them in games, so they feel like they don't have to do more to keep themselves in the game. Where I don't know, it's frustrating. It really sucks. I feel like if Cooper Criswell started every single day, maybe we'd win.
Yeah, I
Call me
mean,
crazy.
you're right. That's the mental side of baseball. And we can't determine for sure what the cause is. Maybe it's like you said, you have a guy where you don't know what you're going to get from him, so they feel like they have to step it up a little more versus a pitcher who's been dealing and the players sit back and like, "Okay, he's going to carry us," and then it falls apart. I don't know. I think the mental game in some way is definitely impacting the Red Sox because the mental errors and the mistakes out there, like that's very apparent. So I don't know how to really fix that. Like that's where coaching comes into play. I don't know if the problem's rooted in Alex Cora, but you brought in a new pitching coach. You brought in a new third base coach who's gonna work with outfielders, infielders. Like you worked on defense a lot this off season, and it's just not better. And it's arguably worse. Like you lead the league in errors once again. You led the league in errors last year. So let's get to the third game in this series. Brian Bayo was good. 5 2/3, 2 runs allowed, 8 Ks. I think good's an understatement. Brian Bayo was fantastic, even. This was
Best he
the.
looked all year for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is the best start that he's had all season. Like I said earlier, just progressing and building on what he's had. Justin Slayton, we got to talk about this guy. Alex Cora called him the Garrett Whitlock of this year. 2 innings, 2 2/3 innings, 1 run allowed. He's been fantastic all season. That's the first run he's allowed this year. And once again, you're feeling good. In comes Kenley Jansen for the save. He allows a run, his first
That had
run.
blown save written all over it.
I don't know how he won that. I genuinely don't. So here's the situation. Kenley Jansen allows a run. So you're up 5-4 now in the ninth. You got runners on second and third, two runners in scoring position. You have two outs. Mike Trout comes to bat against Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen did not have control in that start. He hit a batter. He was all over the place walking batters. And Trout comes up, and you're like, there is no way we win this game. You have a one-run lead with two runners in scoring position and one of the best players on the planet up at bat. And somehow Kenley gets out of it. Somehow Kenley Jansen is 4-for-4 in save opportunities. It feels like he's blown half of his saves, but somehow he's perfect when it comes to saving games. But I don't know about you, but it feels like it's just gonna break at some point. Like he's not gonna be able to keep this up. It's not sustainable. When you're throwing lower velocity than you've usually thrown, you have your back problems, you have these command issues, it's gonna fall apart at some point, right? Like it's gonna catch up to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that he doesn't have a blown save yet because it certainly feels that way.
I feel like he's
And I
blown
guess,
four.
I mean, technically he has blown saves for just not being available, but
True.
this was his reputation before last year. Like, I know Braves fans were actually pretty happy to see him go 2 years ago because every time he came in to save, it was kind of like Kimbrel in 2018, where he just load the bases and you'd pray that he gets out of it. But I'll give him credit for actually getting out of this one, only giving up a run, especially
No,
with Trout. I
I
was,
won't give him credit.
yeah, but like, I'm surprised that they faced Trout. They had a base open. I thought that you should just put him on and take your chances with with Taylor Ward, who was on deck. I know he wasn't throwing the ball well, he wasn't locating, but it's Mike Trout.
Yeah. So I liked what Lou Maloney said on the broadcast. He's like, with the way that Kenley Jansen's throwing the ball in this game without control, you don't want to get the bases loaded because he throws four balls and the game's tied, saves blown. So yeah, it's Mike Trout, but at the same time, you got to know that he just doesn't have a feel for the baseball right now, and you put yourself at risk of very easily and stupidly tying the game. Versus just trying to get your best stuff out there and beat the guy. And if you happen to miss your spots, you have first base open. So obviously it worked out. Hindsight's 2020, but it worked out. So I can easily say I'm fine with the decision. But yeah,
Real
I don't
quick
give
about
Kenley Jansen.
Slayton,
Go ahead. Be
that
positive
Whitlock
first.
comparison is kind of scaring me because, yeah, he is doing exactly what 2021 Garrett Whitlock did. But if they try to make him a starter, I'm gonna punch a TV. I can't do this anymore. We have an open spot in the rotation. It's gonna happen, and I'm gonna lose my mind. If you have an elite multi-inning reliever, just keep him there. Don't do it with Winkowski. You tried to do it this spring. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
Yeah, he's good. Leave him where he's good. We've had that
Justin
conversation a
Slayton
thousand
might
times.
be—he might be the closer at the end of the year. If he keeps this up, he should be.
I'd rather him than Kenley Jansen. So this is what I was going to get to. Kenley Jansen, I give him no credit. I think he got lucky getting out of that because he looked awful. He's looked awful all season, even though he's perfect in save opportunities. And then he comes out and he starts blaming the baseballs after the game. He says, "I just hope we can get better quality of baseballs. It's embarrassing." Obviously, his control was bad in that game, and he comes out blaming the baseballs. Like I. If the baseballs are messed up, whatever, just don't use that as the time to talk about it because then it seems like you're trying to find a scapegoat and you're like, oh yeah, it wasn't my fault that I was bad. It's the baseballs. I hate when people do that across all sports, whenever they blame the equipment for not being the best quality. At the end of the day, it's still a baseball and it's the same baseballs that everyone else plays with. So, Bayo had the same baseballs and he pitched great earlier in that game. So obviously the baseballs aren't making that much of an impact. Just because your big sweaty hands can't grip the ball doesn't mean the baseballs are a problem. Go out there and be better.
I wish we had Garrett here right now because the baseball issues are coming back again this year. And like
Yeah.
the problem is right now, I'm pretty sure, is that they're just not consistent. So I understand.
I think that's
Like,
true and I think that's valid. Just
and
again,
I think that that's
place and
why
time.
these pitchers are getting injured. It's because these balls are not consistent. They're slick. You have to grip them harder. But I agree. There's a time and a place to call out the baseballs because he's making a valid point. I agree with the point that he's making, but you don't do that after giving everybody a heart attack, almost blowing the save, looking terrible, hanging your head. You just, there's a better time to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Because it's also, in the context that Kenley Jansen's been complaining all season. Earlier in the season, he had his back problems. He's like, yeah, I woke up wrong in the morning, didn't want to pitch, and now you have this. And we talk about how his body language has just been awful, too. When he's out there during this game, he looks like he doesn't want to be out there. He's like, I'm tired. I just want to get out of this. It's just not the body language you want to see. He's never fired up. I like when guys are fired up. Obviously, every pitcher is going to be different emotionally. They're going to react to things differently. But I really like the Josh Winkowski type, the Nick Pivetta type, where you get that big out to win the game and you're fired up. And he kind of struck him out. He's like, oh, great. Now I can go sit down. I'm just sick of Kenley Jansen's body language. I'm sick of him being this shaky and scary to end games. It reminds me of Craig Kimbrell. Similar to Kimbrell, though. He still gets the save, so I guess that's all that matters. That a win's a win, the save's a save. I hope it's sustainable. I don't think it is. That's why I said that I think Liam Hendricks will end up saving more games for the Red Sox this season than Kenley Jansen, because something's gonna fall off here. Like, there's something wrong here with his back, his health, his energy, whatever it is. I just don't know how long this is gonna last. Like you said, maybe it's Justin Slayton closing out games. Maybe it's Weisert. I don't know. Maybe it changes, maybe it doesn't. Maybe Kenley Jansen just keeps going the whole year like this. I don't know. Regardless, you win that game 5-4. Pablo Reyes had an RBI double, batting second. So they started doing that in this series. You have Pablo Reyes batting second, and you're looking at the lineup and you're like, is this really what we're doing? Is this the best lineup that we can have?
It's awful. It's awful. I get like the lineup notification on my phone every day. I see it, if I wake up in the morning and I see Duran Reyes, I'm like, oh, crap. It's just, there are some lineups that just look good. They, you know, like last year, I even think like when you had Duvall and Turner in the lineup, you're like, okay, these guys are going to be able to hit. They're going to post. They're going to be
They're big
good.
league hitters.
And you see a lineup that's just like Duran, Reyes, and then it goes Dahlbeck, Hamilton, Valdez. You're like,
You had
oh,
Dahlbeck batting fifth in this game, the same game that Reyes is two. So you had
it's a
Duran, Reyes,
liability.
O'Neal, Casas, Dahlbeck. So you have O'Neal and Casas surrounded by Reyes and Dahlbeck. That's not a big league lineup. That is not a major league winning lineup.
I got a stat on Bobby.
It's not going to be a
Opened his
good one.
last 30 with 19 strikeouts.
He was down in AAA for what, 3 days? He hits a homer and they're like, bring him back up. Obviously, Romy Gonzalez got hurt and you needed a
That
guy,
sucked
but
because
still.
it he find like Romy Gonzalez looked he looked decent at short. He looked like he could hold his own
Oh,
at
I was a
short.
big fan. Dude was hitting, he was fielding, he looked competent at the major league
It's the
level.
same exact thing that happened with Yu Chang last year. Yu Chang came up, played god defense at
Where's Yu
shortstop, and
Chang? Get him
immediately
out
broke
there.
his hand on a swing. Give me Yu
Yeah.
Chang. Where is he?
I need Yu Chang on this team. I was so fired up. I made a post. I was like, Romy Gonzalez fan club. I am a member. And immediately just gets hurt. Immediately. Yeah. Oh, Yoshida went deep in that game, too. That's significant because he is
It's
finally
about
heating up.
time.
And that ball was crushed, too. He got all of that one. We were talking about how Yoshida's just been driving the ball into the ground again, like he started out last year doing. And I mean, Joe and I, we were, first of all, I should mention that Will is no longer here. His Wi-Fi went down. So, in case you're wondering why you haven't heard from him, that's why. But yeah, Joe and I were talking about how we're not even sold that Yoshida is a valuable piece of this team. Long term, does he belong here? I don't know.
It's,
And
I've seen it a lot on Twitter, especially
it's a common thing.
the past week or so, a lot of people are starting to realize that Yoshida might be dead weight on this team. And actually, I was listening to the Baseball Hour the other day, and Matt McCarthy brought up a great point where he went through the highest paid players on the Red Sox, and it's laughable how little contribution you're getting from these top five guys. Like, to go off on a tangent real quick, your top five highest paid guys are Devers, Story, Giolito, Yoshida, Jansen. That's rough.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. So your Devers, he's hitting under 200 right now, but we know he's banged up. He missed a bunch of these games. I'm not worried about him. Once that shoulder gets right, he's going to be Rafael Devers. But right now, you're paying. Let me do some quick maths right here, because you're paying Trevor Story. Oh man, this is your depressing part of the pod.
If the rest wasn't already, yeah.
You're paying Jansen, Yoshida, Giolito, and Story a combined $76.6 million this year. Two of them are out for the year. One of them, I don't even know. He's the shakiest closer of all time right now. And Yoshida is just, you can't be paying a DH $18 million to slap the ball into the ground. The way he's looked this year, he's a slap hitter. It was encouraging to see him hit the home run because when he gets his hands inside the baseball, he is pop. The problem is, I just don't know if he can get to that point with major league pitching consistently. And
Yeah,
you got four more years of it.
he's a great player that would be on like a $4 to $6 million contract, maybe seven. Like he'd be a great value guy batting down like the 6-7 spot. But the position he's in with this Red Sox team right now is he's your DH and he's expected to be a 4-5 hitter.
Yeah, we've been talking about this. Like, he's supposed to be a guy who gives you a 300 average with 35 doubles, 15 home runs. And he actually did that last year. 33 doubles, 15 home runs, 72 RBI, hitting 289. He obviously started the year off really slow and ended it really slow. But for a good, like, 4 month stretch, he was a great hitter, one of the best hitters in baseball. And we just got to see a full season of that. We can't have him start the year off slow like he did last year. But I think more importantly, if we see him get hot and then break down again like he did last September, the entire month of September, he was awful. One of the worst players in baseball because you could just see he was exhausted. He was not putting together good at bats. He stopped walking. And at this point, he's not even playing defense anymore. So it's a weird situation we're at. I hope this home run is the start of something good, but I don't know. There's just something, it doesn't sit right with me that we have Yoshida for 4 more years.
Yeah, it's just that's not, he's not adding up to his value. Like, you
Yeah,
don't
I'm not
pay.
trying to dump on the guy, but that contract is starting to look worse and worse.
Well, yeah, because you
And I
don't pay
know we're only
$100 million
15 games in.
dollars. You don't pay $100 million to a guy who, first of all, doesn't play the field, and then as a hitter, just takes the first and the last month of the season off. Because that's what it is. Last season, he didn't hit to start out the year. This season, he's not hitting to start out the year. And if he, like you said, falls off at the end of the season, then you're not getting your value for him at all. I feel like he hasn't been even playing for us because he's just been so irrelevant. Like he gets up, I'm like, okay, here comes a ground ball because that's all he's been doing is hitting ground
Ground out
balls
to second base.
every time, ground out to second or first every time. We've seen what we can get from Yoshida last season. When he gets the ball in the air, he can hit it far. He can get extra base hits. He can go gap to gap. But if he can't do that consistently, then what are you really getting from him? And I hope that he does what he did last season, where he heats up and he just goes and has a really great late spring and summer. But you got to see how he does at the end of the season, and just some consistency would be nice here in his second major league season. But again, it is his second major league season, and we are in April, mid-April, so there is time for him to turn it around and kind of impress us. But that's up to him. Like right now, the jury's still out on him, and he needs to prove his value in Boston. So we'll see what he does. But yeah, you win that series. You win 2 out of 3 against the Angels, which means you win 4 out of 6 against the Angels on the season, which is good. And you're feeling a little bit better. That series, your defense was still a problem, though. And then today, you had the 11 a.m. game, and it was just back to bad. You lose 6-0. This was fresh. This was ended like 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago, something like that. Same story. Cutter Crawford, amazing. 5 2/3, 2 hits allowed, 0 runs, and 6 strikeouts. He was untouchable in this game. Real quick, his last 5 starts, he has a 0.33 ERA, an 0.66 WHIP, and a 1.08 opponent average. Cutter Crawford has been outstanding. Like, I can't emphasize enough how good he's been. The only problem is going deep into games, which will come. But for the parts of the game that he does pitch in, he's been unhittable. So that's really good. But as we mentioned earlier in the show, baseball teams are winless when they score 0 runs. And the Red Sox scored 0 runs, only had 3 hits. The bats just didn't wake up. You know, it's 11 a.m. game. You get to the ballpark early, you're sleepy. You're not fully awake, and before you know it, you lose 6-0.
I mean, it's really concerning how much this happens where the offense just looks completely lifeless. Like, we've gone through what, 7 games here, and 3 of them we can talk about how terrible the offense was. This is actually very similar to that first Angels game. 3 hits in both games. You lose by 7-0 in one, 6-0 in the other. And then this also reminds me of the 7-1 loss to Baltimore, where the Red Sox didn't get a hit after the first inning. They had 2 hits. So I don't understand. We thought going into this season that the lineup would, no matter what, we're going to be able to hit. And that's just not the case. I think part of that is the Devers injury. He hasn't looked like himself. He kind of sets the tone for the rest of the team. But also, we just don't have a number three hitter. And
Yeah.
that's like the most important part in the lineup. I feel like we haven't given Casas enough love. He's a great, really nice homestand out of him. But there's no protection between him and Devers. There, you need somebody in between those two guys who's gonna mash. It's just not
Well,
happening.
I
Not to
mean,
mention, the bottom of the lineup is just a black hole because we're rotating through these. I can't even call them quadruple A players. They're triple A players, and that's their ceiling.
You got to give Tyler O'Neill credit, though. He's kind of been the guy who stepped up as that bridge between Devers and Casas. I forgot to mention in that last game against the Angels that Tyler O'Neill and Tristan Casas had back-to-back homers in the first. So he's kind of been like a number three hitter, but all of his home runs have been solo shots, which is really interesting. So you're right. Like, they do lack the hitter. Like, Tyler O'Neill should not, even though he's been hot, he should not be the three hitter. He's not a three hitter. He
I
is
mean, he is
a.
the best hitter in baseball at the moment. So, like,
He is, but still, like, outside of him and Casas, who else is there? Endeavors. Like, you don't
yeah.
have
And the
presences in
problem
those
is that
lineups.
Devers is just ice cold right now.
Yeah.
He can't get a hit for his life. But, when they're healthy and they're looking good, a top four of Duran, Devers, O'Neill, and Casas is really good. But go outside of that, you have Yoshida, Wong, and a bunch of other guys. So
The potential's there, though. Like,
it's there, but they don't look anything like they did in spring training, where they were
yeah.
working at bats, taking walks, hitting home runs, and not striking out. And right now they're striking out like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the key right there. They are, I believe, second. Yeah, they're second in the league, in the whole MLB, in total strikeouts. They have 171. Dodgers have one more at 172. They're striking out like crazy. They're not putting together quality at bats. And one of my followers asked me, like, why this is happening. I thought about it, and I was thinking how you don't have a. Like, you talk about Justin Turner, it's a professional hitter. Freddie Freeman, one of the best hitters in baseball, he's a professional hitter. It's not just because they hit home runs and get hits, it's because they work counts, they work at bats, and they make the pitcher sweat and have to figure out how to get them out. When the Red Sox are giving pitchers pitches and outs by swinging at pitches way out of the zone and not having quality at bats, it boosts the pitcher's confidence, it makes them better, it gets you out, and it has just a snowball effect to the whole lineup. This is why you talk about how it hurts not having a guy like Justin Turner to set the tone in the lineup. You need a rock in that lineup who, regardless of who else is in the lineup, you know that, okay, you have this guy as the three hitter or the four hitter, and you know he's going to work the at bat. He's going to have a professional at bat where he works the count and makes the pitcher work, and we just don't have a guy who does that. Devers is the best hitter on this team, but he strikes out a lot. He swings at bad pitches. He swings at pitches at his eyes and at his knees. And sometimes he hits him out, which is great, but other times he's going to swing and miss. Same with a lot of the different guys in this team. And
Raffaello, like those
Rafaela,
guys were just
Duran,
free
too.
swingers. When they're on, they're on. But when they're
Well, that's
not,
what the result is. We talk about this offense being really streaky and inconsistent. It's because sometimes swinging at all these pitches is going to work. You're going to make contact. You're going to drive the ball out of the ballpark and into gaps and whatever. Other days it's not going to work at all and you're going to get shut out. And I think that is exactly what we're seeing here. That's what the offense has shown so far, and I think the quality of at bats and the strikeout problem is the force behind that.
yeah, and it's one of those situations where you just feel like it can spiral out of control. And because there's not really a point during the season where you can just flip a switch and say, oh, we're going to take pitches now. It's something that is a gradual thing that happens over time. Guys improve their plate approach. It's not an overnight fix, and it's not necessarily a mid-season fix. So I don't know what exactly's got to happen here. Maybe when it warms up, the ball's going to carry more and those flyouts turn into home runs. That's definitely possible, but I want to see some station to station baseball where the Sox can actually. I feel like there haven't been a whole lot of rallies this year, especially. I feel like every time that they go down, they're down for good. They don't come back.
Yeah, I don't think the summer heat's going to help because home runs aren't the problem in my mind. They are sixth in the league in home runs. They have 20. The highest is 25. So they're hitting the ball out. But you look at Tyler O'Neill and how they're all solo shots. It's exactly what you said. No rallies. Like they're not scoring runs by going station to station and moving guys over. They're hitting home runs on a solo shot basis and kind of scoring sporadically instead of consistently. That's a big part of the
Yeah.
problem. While I'm looking at the stats here, I noticed the Red Sox are first in the league in caught stealing. They have the most caught stealing with eight. So that contributes to it
That
too.
doesn't surprise me because they're also a team that plays bad defense. So it's a lot of mental errors that end up costing you.
Well, yeah, that demonstrates though how those mental errors bleed into the offense too. Because if you get caught in the base paths and you get picked off and caught stealing, then you lose runners
Got
out
picked up
there that
a
you can drive in.
Yeah, got picked off a lot. That's not acceptable to me. And then another, I'm just looking through the stats right now. The Sox have the ninth worst team OPS in the league, seventh worst team batting average, ninth worst team on base percentage. So it's surprising that they have the ninth worst OPS, even though they're almost top five in home runs, but it kind of shows that it's really home run or nothing. And it sucks because your pitching is the best in the league, and it's by far, but we know that that's not going to last forever. So the offense needs to come and pick them up because you can't really afford to be dropping these games where your pitching is just absolutely lights out because what they're doing right now is not sustainable over a full season. Even if they are a top five pitching staff at the end of the year, like you're still going to need to score runs to be a half decent team, not even a playoff team, just half decent. And yeah, it's concerning because it does feel like it spirals out of control sometimes. On a day like today, where they just can't get anything going, they weren't even working at bats. They're swinging early. They're not working counts. They're not getting on base, and that's what happens. It's a quick game where you just punch in the face, you lose 6-0, and that can't happen,
Exactly.
especially at home.
Exactly. Yeah. They're bad at home. I don't know why, but
They're
for
really
whatever
bad
reason,
at.
they're.
I saw yesterday that the Red Sox over the last 30 games, among all baseball teams, their last 30 home games, Sox have the worst record. They're like 6-24.
Which is not the way that it should be, and it's not the way that it has been. Like Boston, Fenway Park, you're supposed to be energized by playing in that stadium and supported by your home fans, and the fact that they have. They're not playing well at home. That's a problem. That is not good for a winning ball club.
Yeah, it feels like the offense is kind of pressing too, where you're just, so desperate to get a hit, you're swinging at everything. And
Not good.
I don't know how you fix it. You can't really. So we'll figure it out, I
I mean, you
guess.
fix it by taking it game by game. Like, you have good players. Like, these are all players who are capable of having better at bats. Tristan Casas is supposed to have really good plate vision. Masataka Yoshida is supposed to never strike out. And a lot of these guys can work on this and just focus harder. That's all it is. Just try harder. Try hard.
Yeah.
I can sit here in my
And
chair and tell you to try harder, and you just gotta go out there and be better and be the type of player that you can be.
it's crazy because I'm going through the games right now, and the Sox had the lead in every game against Baltimore and lost. They had the lead in two out of the three Angels games, won two of them. And if you even go back to the West Coast trip, obviously 7-3, but they also blew leads in two of those games as well. So it sucks because they've blown so many leads, but it feels like every time they go down in a game, they lose.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go through all these games right now because I have a feeling that every time that they've trailed in a game, they've lost. I don't know if they have a comeback win this year.
Well, I have the stat for the errors, which I think kind of contributes to that, with
Yeah.
how they just beat themselves on the stakes. In games that they make no errors, they're 7-1. In games where they make at least one error, they're 2-7. So you see right there, I mean, obviously that's not really saying much. That's very apparent. When you make mistakes, you're gonna lose. And when you don't make mistakes and play clean baseball, you're gonna win. So the problem 100% is just the mistakes, the mental mistakes, the fielding mistakes, the hitting mistakes. These mistakes, that's what plagued us last season. And they went into the offseason with the main goal of fixing this and limiting mistakes. And here we are, they're making even more mistakes than it seemed like they were last year. And they just got to fix it.
I have a stat.
Yeah.
The Red Sox have one comeback win this year, and that was 5-4 against the A's, where the A's literally tried. Wait. Hold on. Yeah, okay, my math is right. I can math. Their only comeback win this year is against the A's in that crazy extra innings game that was really stupid, and we all agreed that that should have been a loss. It's concerning. Like I'm not expecting them to come back and win every single game, but the fact that you've gone down 1-0 and you can't even come back to tie it is very concerning. That just kind of shows how volatile this offense is, where they go down and they don't know how to come back. Like, and that's because, like we said, you can't string together these base hits. You can't work walks. You can't get on base. You can't rally. It's home run or bust.
Yeah, it's like every player, every at bat is just isolated instead of
It
trying to build
literally is,
together.
because
Yeah.
Tyler O'Neill he leads the majors in home runs, and they're all solo homers.
Yeah, the last time that a player's done that was Shane Victorino in 2013, and Shane Victorino was the leadoff hitter most of the time.
Yeah,
Tyler O'Neill's
so
hitting in the meat of that lineup, right in the middle, and he has all solo shots. Like, that should not happen. The more I talk about
I
this Red
hope
Sox
something
team,
happens.
the more I come back to it, they're just not good. They are not a
No.
good team. Even they have a winning record, but it's so deceiving. It's deceiving in two ways, because their record could be even better if they didn't make all these errors. But at the same time, it could be even worse because of how they play baseball. They play baseball very poorly. So on the broad scale of the season, if they keep playing at this pace with these errors, some of these wins are going to start turning into losses, and you're going to add up to more losses than wins. Like, they are above 500, but they're playing like a below 500 team.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because they've had leads in almost every game that they've played. But like I said, they don't have the ability to come back, which a good team does. So like at the end of the day, you have to conclude that they are not good. And they are definitely, I think it's different with Trevor Story because this homestand looks completely different if you have Trevor Story healthy, because he's such a
Yeah.
good defender at shortstop. He sets the tone, and you can keep Rafael in center. Like the West Coast trip before Story got hurt, the Red Sox were one of the best defensive teams in the majors. They didn't make errors. And when they did, they didn't really come back to bite them. Like we were saying, we can live with that. We can live with Valdez sucking because we know we have Trevor Story on the left side. And it feels like there's no way to salvage this season now that Trevor Story's done. I truly feel that way. And it sucks because we are like 17 games in. But it feels like this was the one injury that you couldn't afford.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're only 17 games in, but this is just a continuation of last season. Last season, it felt like this, where we're making these mistakes, and like, if we don't make mistakes, we'd be good. If you look at all the games we played and you take out like the errors, the runs given up on errors, your record would be much better. Already, our record would probably be 3 to 4 wins better if we didn't make so many mistakes. So it's just the same story as last season, and it's going to be the same story all season this year, unless they finally figure out how to play clean baseball. They went two
Yeah,
games
and
without an error until today. That's the longest streak I remember. Two full games without an error.
that's the frustrating part because they had it fixed. They had the defense fixed. And then Trevor Story goes down and you're screwed. But that's also on the front office for not having any sort of insurance plan, because you probably should have signed somebody, a defense first guy like Nick Ahmed was a free agent. He's one of the best defensive shortstops in the last 20 years. You
Yeah.
could have signed him to back up Trevor Story. He can't hit, but it doesn't matter. Someone like that, you need an insurance policy, a guy who can hold down the fort, even on an off day. Because, like, let's be real, if Trevor Story was healthy and he had an off day, like, we can't feel good about that. That's almost a scheduled loss.
That's true. I agree with that totally, that you needed to build a better team with defensive guys who can help out. But at the same time, I don't think that's 100% of the problem, because you look at the game yesterday when they won, the defense looked really good. Duran was getting the balls and was making good plays, and they were playing good defense. And today, even though they lost, Willy Abreu had an incredible catch out in right field. Jarren Duran had a really, really good running catch. So they have players who are capable of playing good defense. The outfield especially is a very good defensive outfield. The infield, if you don't have Valdez and Hamilton out there, you can still be good. Devers has his fair share of decent plays, and Casas has been really good defensively this season. I think he's the one guy in that infield that I trust to make a play. He still has his mistakes too, but these are players who should be capable of playing better defense, aside from Valdez and Hamilton. But then again, to your point, they should have guys other than Valdez and Hamilton who can step up and fill in, and they
Yeah.
don't.
And if I think the rest of the way going forward, if you want to win games, you have to put Rafaela at shortstop. And it sucks because he is just a defensive wizard in center field, one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball. And you have to sacrifice that. Jarren Duran is fine in center field, but he's nothing special. He's league average to maybe a tick below league average defensively in center field. But I think if you want to put this team in the best position to win, you have to put Rafael at shortstop, and he will play good defense there, but you sacrifice that outfield defense. But I personally, I know that infield defense is far more important. So maybe, who knows, if you stick with Rafael at shortstop the rest of the year, and Vaughn Grissom comes up and is able to hold his own in second base, maybe things are different. Thank you to the Red Sox for finally putting Rafael at shortstop today. I really appreciate it. I feel heard, because why are we putting him at second base? That's useless. It's a waste of time. We shouldn't even waste time with him in center field anymore.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the hot topic in Red Sox Nation right now. Whether to keep Rafaela in the outfield or put him at shortstop, and I agree with you, the solution is to put him at shortstop. Because he's gonna be really good at shortstop defensively too. Like, he's played shortstop in his career and he's been good, been great even. And just because that he is a really good outfielder and that may not translate to the infield doesn't mean you can't count him out. Like, he is objectively good in the infield too. And yeah, Duran isn't the best defensively, but he's taken a lot of steps forward and he's really beefed up his reaction time and his jump. He totally turned his jump around, because when he debuted in the majors, it was one of the worst jumps in the MLB, and he's kind of turned it around to be league average, and sprint speed is obviously like elite. So Lou Maloney was kind of talking about it, and I thought it was funny how he was saying how even if Duran misses the ball, he can still get there very quickly and get the ball in. So I'm totally fine with Jarren Duran in center field. Willy Abreu has shown that he can be really good in right field defensively, and Tyler O'Neill has gold gloves under his belt. So defensively in the outfield, you look great even without Rafaela. You put Rafaela in the infield, and we've talked about how shortstop is one of those positions where you need good defense, and that defense will kind of bleed into the rest of the team, rest of the field in the infield. So if you have a good defensive shortstop like Rafaela to lock it up, it's going to make Devers better. It's going to make whoever's at second base better, and it's going to make your whole defense as a whole better. It's the solution. You can't have David Hamilton out there every game, because that defense is going to lose you games. Rafaela's defense at short, that could win you games. So there's no question in my mind, Rafaela needs to be your shortstop, at least this season. Just because you put him at shortstop now doesn't mean he's going to be the shortstop forever. But for right now, he is the best option you have. You look at your whole entire roster, there's no one who's going to play a better shortstop defensively than Rafaela, and you have to prioritize that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if us talking about errors and being bad at Fenway Park didn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. Because SeatGeek is the best ticket provider out there to buy tickets to those games. Not only do they have fantastic deals, but they provide you with tools to make sure you're getting great tickets. They give you a grade for each ticket price so you can be confident you're getting the best value possible. They show you the view from the seat so you can know what you're getting ahead of time. And you get the tickets right on your phone, making it all easy. With their wide selection of sports, concerts, shows, and more, SeatGeek knocks it out of the park when it comes to buying tickets. Plus, you can get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek by using our promo code Dugout.
That's DUGOUT. Dugout, hit the fens, have a good time, maybe.
It's nice out.
It is nice out.
So even if they play bad baseball, you can have a good time at the park.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing more baseball. We have the rest of the Cleveland series happening the next few
Yep.
days. Let's
I
look
got
at
some
that,
things to look
obviously.
for.
Yeah, they lost today, but that doesn't mean that they won't win tomorrow.
Yeah.
As we debuted last season, our segment, Joey's Keys to the Series, is back. What are your keys to the series and the wrap up of the homestand here before they go back on the road in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. So these next three Cleveland starters, you got Tanner Bibee, Blake Lively, and Carlos Carrasco. So
Blake
all
Lively?
righties.
Ryan
Did I
Reynolds
say
one?
Blake Lively?
Yeah.
Ben Lively.
Oh
Ben Lively.
man, I got
That's
excited. I
his
thought we were gonna
name.
shell.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Tanner Bibee has an ERA of almost 6 on the year, but it was sub 3 last year. He pitches tomorrow, so I'm not looking forward to that. I feel like this is a big time get right start for him. So,
Well, you
yeah,
know, when the Red
it's
Sox face a guy with a high ERA, that means they're not gonna hit.
exactly. So this Ben Lively guy, 5.05 career ERA, and Carlos Carrasco, 3.55 ERA on the year. I feel like those are two games where the offense could get right. This is a series where, or these are two games where you can throw all your lefties in the lineup. Abreu in there, he's starting to look better. I feel like this is an opportunity for Devers to get right as well.
Which
So
is needed heavily.
absolutely needed. Like we said, he's the heartbeat of the offense. He sets the tone. So besides that Bibee start tomorrow, I'm not feeling good about that. But I feel like the next two games could be really good for the offense, could be a good jump start for them before they head on the road. So I'm looking for Devers to get right. Maybe use the monster, get the oppo swing going. And then real quick for the pit, another thing, we are in big trouble if Tyler O'Neill goes on the injured list.
Yeah, we didn't
Very
even
big
mention
trouble.
that.
Yeah.
In the game today, him and Devers had a really bad-looking collision. Devers ended up staying in the game, but he was down for a while. O'Neal was down and like bleeding from his head. Looked really bad. Somehow they got the out on that, which is cool. But yeah, that was a bad to see, and I hope that Tyler O'Neal is okay because we need him to be okay. He got some stitches in his head and is in concussion
Eight
protocol right
stitches.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he isn't able to play, we're screwed. I feel like the offense is going to be even worse. It actually can't be worse because they just scored 0. But
You know what this reminds me of?
he
And I hate to
what?
say it, but last season, Adam Duvall was
Adam
crushing
Duvall.
it.
Yep.
And then he dives for that ball in Detroit, falls on his wrist weird, and hurts his wrist, and then he's out. That's what this reminds me of because it's a very similar timing, very similar player storyline. And let's just hope that it's not the same result because
The
Adam
only
Duvall
bright
just.
side with this O'Neal thing is the worst case is that he has a concussion and he misses 7 days. But also, we saw like Rizzo last year with the Yankees. He got concussed and he was never the same again. So
It's
fingers
scary.
crossed
It's
that he's
scary.
not
Yeah.
concussed. Hopefully not.
Oh,
But
real quick, if I'm Rafael Devers, you got to yield to the left fielder there. That's the left fielder's ball. Rafael Devers was halfway to the monster wall out there.
yeah. Yeah.
That can't happen, especially from the face of your franchise. Like, I know his defense not that great, but you got to be better than that. Like, you got to fall off there. Rafaela, he bailed on it because he heard O'Neal calling for it, and Devers just went in hard and bumped heads, and you can't have that.
Yeah. So for this Cleveland series, biggest thing I'm looking for is the last two games, good opportunities for the offense to get right. And then I have some quick notes on that Pittsburgh series. I figured out who the probable starters are going to be. It's Marco Gonzalez, who's a lefty with a 2.65 ERA this year. Mitch
Loss.
Keller, righty with a 4.50 ERA. Last game
Loss.
of the series, old friend Martin Perez, he's 1-0 with a 1.89 ERA. He's nasty now. Ever
Loss.
since he got out of Boston, he's nasty. I'm not excited for that because Pittsburgh very good at pitching.
We're getting swept.
I'm not feeling great because we can't hit lefties. They're really good at pitching. The righty that they're starting is Mitch Keller. He's pretty good.
Even if we
So,
hit, we're going to make errors in the field and we're going to blow it.
yeah, I have written down here lots of low scoring games. Runs are going to be at a premium for the next week or so. So you better not be given free outs by making errors. And I also said our bullpen needs to figure it out.
You know, that's funny because I disagree. I think it's going to be the opposite. I think we're going to have high scoring games.
Really?
Because the way that I look at it is our rotation has been so good this season, it's bound to just regress. And look at Tanner Houck. Obviously, it was because a big part of it was because he faced the same team that he faced a few days before. So they kind of were familiar with him. But still, like I think that the pitching is going to give up some more runs. You started to see some cracks in the bullpen with Campbell, and so you're going to give up more runs on that side of the ball with the defense with it too. And then offensively, Tristan Casas is heated up. I think Yoshida is starting to heat up too, and I think he's going to hit the ball. Willier Abreu has been better out there, and he's starting every game against right-handed pitching, as Cora said. Devers is back, and hopefully his shoulder's back to normal, and he can kind of start hitting. So I think the offense is going to come alive a little bit in that way with those different guys. With O'Neill out potentially, though, that could hurt it. So that could limit the offense. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like blowout, like 12 run type games, but I think they'll be scoring between like 4 to 6 pretty consistently.
I'm just hoping that the last two games of this Cleveland series, the offense can look better because both of those guys, Lively and Carrasco, are not strikeout pitchers either. They pitch to contact. So this is a really good opportunity for the Sox to get right, for the offense to maybe finally find their groove. I'm looking for Rafaela to get better and Devers to get better, most the two key guys.
You're really thinking we're gonna get shut down by the Bibby guy, huh?
He's nasty.
I don't know. I Whitlock is pitching that game though, and they don't like scoring runs for him.
No, they
So,
don't. So, who knows?
yeah, I feel like they'll probably. I'm gonna go probably split the series with the Guardians, and then I do not feel good about the Pittsburgh one at all.
No,
I
I
think they'll
don't
get
either.
swept. Also, I don't know if you've seen any Pittsburgh Pirate highlights. But it throws me off so heavily that they also have like the Nesson graphics.
Oh, I know. I hate that.
Like
It's
they'll put on like
because.
a highlight and I'll see like the Nesson scoreboard in the left. I'm like, what is this? Is this a WooSox game? Oh, no, it's the
You can
Pirates.
thank John
What?
Henry for that
Yeah.
because I think they share the station with the Penguins, and the
Yeah.
Penguins also obviously use the Nesson graphics, so I hate that as well.
Yeah, it's just gonna be a
Also, the Nesson
battle of
graphics
Nesson.
suck. The Nesson score
Yeah.
bug is so boring.
It's a blue rectangle.
The old one, I need it back. The long strip on the top of the screen, that's just pure nostalgia for me. That was the
It's
best.
amazing how much worse they got. Like,
It all started with that stupid logo change. They wanted to be
that's what
like an
ruined it.
upstart tech company.
Like, yeah, whatever. Like the studio they have in right field, super cool. TC, that's my guy. I love him. Will Middlebrooks, Jim Rice, like everything outside of the graphics is fantastic. But then the graphics are just terrible. The little Nesson intro, like it gets me fired up, of course, because I'm a Red Sox fan. But it starts out with Trevor Story, which is tough.
Yeah,
Just
you gotta get. I know, I keep noticing that. Like, we gotta fix that. You can bring it back next year, but it's
yeah, I can't get
tough.
fired up to watch Red Sox baseball when I see my
Oh, that
heavy,
reminds me.
like.
I've been seeing on Instagram, like when you're going through stories and there are ads,
Yeah.
every single ad I get is the Trevor Story Red Sox one. And
Yeah.
it's like, oh.
Like I love me some Trevor Story, but I'd happily just erase him from memory for this season. Just
Yeah.
forget he's on the team anywhere.
It's a sore subject.
Yeah. I
Just.
keep seeing Lucas Giolito in the dugout. I'm like, oh, I forgot he's on the team. Wish I could see him pitch.
Yep.
Really ended on a tough note here. Trying to find anything positive.
We play Cleveland again next week.
Again, stupid
Hooray.
schedule.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the Angels. Yeah, dude. I don't know if I have anything positive to say.
There is nothing positive to say. Just, hey, we're 9-8. We have a winning record. Woohoo!
Maybe for the last time this season.
Soak it up while
But
you can.
sucks. It's so frustrating because we were
Yeah.
so close.
So close to having a competent baseball team.
The injury, like obviously we're the Red Sox. Nobody's ever going to feel bad for you when your team gets decimated by injuries, but I have to believe that we might be the most affected major league team by injuries this year.
Because I don't even think it's just injuries. I think it's freak injuries for sure. Like the collision
Exactly.
today, Story diving for a ball and badly dislocating his shoulder. Just all these different freak injuries. It's
Giolito just
terrible.
like his elbow blowing up during a bullpen or
Yeah,
whatever.
Giolito and Pivetta both are pitchers who've really never gotten hurt in their career. So of course they come here and get hurt.
But what that is telling me is that this is MLB's fault. I truly believe that.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah,
Bring
it
back
is.
sticky stuff.
The Red Sox should just start cheating.
Why not? What's gonna happen?
It's
Who
just going to bring
cares
him
if
back to
Isaiah
league
Campbell gets
average.
suspended? Like,
You
who
know who needs
cares?
sticky stuff? David Hamilton. Put it on his cleats so he can stick to the base.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
They never said spider t they don't hey, they don't check cleats.
Yeah.
They do not
Put it
check
on his
cleats.
cleats. He's gonna be walking back to the dugout with just a ton of dirt just stuck to his cleats because of the glue he put on him.
You ever step in bubble gum in Little League? That was always the
Yeah.
worst. That sucked.
That's what he needs, though.
Yep.
That'll do it for this week on the In the Dugout podcast. Yeah, tough times in Red Sox Nation. Hopefully, they prove us wrong and win more games than we think they're going to between now and the next episode. But regardless, we'll see you next week with another edition of the Favorite Red Sox podcast. See you next time.
Let's hope we are not depressed by then.
Good
We'll
luck.
end it on that.